And we got the full crew of deacons with us this morning. And it's good to see them with us, have them with us, keep us in line. And I appreciate our deacons today. Exodus, the third chapter, while you pray. Don't stop now. Just keep on praying, and God will give us a word that will encourage us and lift us up and just make us appreciate how good God has been to us. We all have our troubles and trials. We've all had our heartaches, our mishaps along the way. But through it all, God has been so good to us. And I'll try to preach this morning if it be the Lord's will. Third chapter of Exodus, starting at verse 11 down through and including verse 14. And let's read 15 as well. And Moses said unto God, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" And he said, "Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain." And Moses said unto God, "Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers have sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them?" And God said unto Moses, "I am that I am." Amen. And he said, "Thou shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am have sent me unto you." And God said moreover unto Moses, "Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, and God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, have sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations." Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing in reverence to the Word of God. And I'd like to bring to you a message entitled, "I Am." I am. Moses was concerned. You see, being raised in Pharaoh's house, because of his mother, I believe this with all my heart, because of his mother being his nanny and teaching him about God. One day he saw the Lord on God's mountain. The angel of the Lord came down to that bush that was on fire, but yet it was not consumed. Before this, let me go back. He had been raised in Pharaoh's house, but because of his mother's teaching, when the Egyptian came against the Hebrew, he protected his brother and slew the Egyptian. And forever he was cast out. First 40 years he spent in Pharaoh's house. The second 40 years he spent with his father-in-law being a shepherd. But one day while he was out there tending the sheep, he saw that bush that was on fire. And he said to himself, "I must go and see." And there's a message in that this morning. When the Lord sends down a fire, it makes us inquisitive. We want to feel that fire that God has sent. And the next 40 years of his life, he spent trying to lead the children of Israel out from underneath bondage. Here, God called him to lead his children, and he gave all kinds of excuses why he couldn't. "Who am I that I should go and speak to Pharaoh?" And then he came back and said, "I can't do it because I'm not eloquent of speech." I believe he was lying because he'd been taught in Pharaoh's school system. But like you and I, when God calls us to do something, Larry Jones, we say, "I can't do that." When God lays it on our heart to do something, we say, "I can't do that." But with God, all things are possible. The Lord, Even Moses questioned him and said, when I go to your people and say, your Lord, your God has sent me, who shall I say has sent me? What is his name that has sent you to lead us out? And God spoke to him and said, you just tell him, I am that I am. And that to us sounds just like a phrase. But in the Hebrew, it means that he is the self-existent one. He is the eternal, the one who always has been and always will be. The big Hebrew word that he spoke there, or words that he spoke there, shortened here in this verse to just, I am the ever-present and living one. It is equivalent to Jehovah the Eternal. Aren't you glad we serve a God that always has been and always will be? You and I will pass, our forefathers passed, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob all passed, but God is still alive. Some of you catch up with me. God is still alive. All of our forefathers have passed, and they've been laid in the ground, but God is still the same God today that he was yesterday and the day before, and even going back to eternity past. In fact, the question is, has there ever been a time that God was not? And the answer is no. He was there in the beginning. And he will be the one that will say to his son, go get my church and bring her out of that sin-filled world. What we're feeling today is just a little touch of what heaven is going to be like. When we gather there and began to sing a song that the angels cannot sing. The great I Am sitting high upon his throne. And all of his children gathered around. Not to see each other as we have this morning and see who's there and who's not there. But we're going to sing a song unto the Lamb of God that was slain from the foundation of the world. That we could say today that I am part of the great I Am and his kingdom this morning. You and I that's been saved, when the world asks us, who is our God? It's not Muhammad. It is not our Krishna. It is not Buddha or any other God that this world may have. But our God is the great I Am that spoke the world into existence. Made all the things that have been made and made you and I as men and women a living soul. Our God is the one who saw that sin would come into the world and man needed a remedy for that sin. Who shall I say has sent me? John said it like this. He said, there's one that cometh after me whose shoes I'm not worthy to bow down and tie, if I can use that word. He shall baptize you with the fire and the Holy Ghost. What is his name today? His name is I Am. You say, but that's God. Brother Clarence, you cannot separate God the Father, God the Son, and God, he, the Holy Ghost today. I'm glad that when I got saved, I not just got one of them, but I got all three of them in my heart and my soul. And when I got saved, I didn't have to go back in order when I lived good enough to get the Holy Ghost. But I got sanctified, justified, and glorified by God, the great I Am that came. I didn't understand it, and I still can't explain it. But when I got saved, they moved into my heart and my life. They are alive. How many of you know he's alive today? And not just alive. He is not some old man sitting up there on feeble on his throne today, but he is as vigor as he's ever been. He's as lively as he's ever been, and he is not worried about what's going to happen. He's got a plan for this world, and his plan will come into existence. You say, where's God at? Look around. Look around today. when you see people excited about church, when you see people that let tears fly, when you see people that are rejoicing in the house of God, I say that's a picture of what God is. He don't want us to be quiet. He don't want us to be not blessed, but He wants us to have everything that we have need of. Everything. Today I thought this week's been a rough week. How many can you say amen? It's been a rough week. One of my siblings we found out is getting a divorce. That hurts our heart. We've had car problems. I thought it was something simple and took it to the dealer and they said, no, you need a transmission. I say, okay, how much is that going to be? $5,500. I think it's God telling me I should have bought a Ford. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Had problems. I went down to help my daughter at her house and went out. Gavin and I went out, and underneath my truck was a big old spot. A liquid. And I thought, oh, she's blown the engine. Come to find out, it's probably on the antifreeze. So, Jack, I'll just put a little bit more water in it and drive it until it blows up. I'm tired of working on it. Amen? And the devil gets us all down. I'm thinking, man, Satan must have went to God and said, let me try this Roger. You ever felt like that? But then, yesterday afternoon, I felt the presence of God come down and say, yes, it may be a valley now, but just wait a day or two. You'll be back on the mountain. And you know what? I'm on the mountain. His word is true. Hallelujah. Moses said, I can't speak to Pharaoh. God said, you tell him I am sent you there. And he gave him, you know, the story about all the things that he had to go through. God had to bring the plagues in order to get his attention. But even the plagues didn't do it. But when the death of his firstborn came, he said, oh, that's enough. Get your people and get out. But even as they was leaving, Pharaoh's army come after them. God opened up the Red Sea. What a beautiful sight that must have been. And even a greater miracle was, not only did he open up the Red Sea, but they walked through on dry ground. Not even mud between their toes when they got to the other side. And as they was exiting and look behind them, and here come Pharaoh's army. God let the waves go down. He shut it up, and Pharaoh's mighty army drowned in the sea. God's people came out victorious on the other side. Church, I've come to preach to us this morning. We are going to be victorious on the other side, regardless of what Satan has got after us today. No matter how bad he's after us on our heels, we shall conquer all because we are associated with I am today. I am. Let me put one in there and I'll preach. I am a child of God. Can you say that this morning? Some of you like me that's been hurting this week, and the bad news that Lisa made mention of, and all these other bad things that we heard about this morning. You know what I do? I stand upon the word of God. I am a child of the living God today, and whatsoever I have need of, He has promised to take care of it and see me through it. And when I've gone my last mile and I sang my last song, I'm going to lay down this body of clay and pick up a glorified body locking unto God Himself, and I'm going to walk all over glory land shouting and singing the praises of God because He saved my dying soul and I didn't have to die and go to hell for eternity. Jesus said, not only was my Father I am, but I am also. He said in his word, in the book of Matthew, he says, I am meek and lowly in heart. What that means is he's saying, I'm compassionate towards you. I'm compassionate. I'm helpful unto you. How many of us has God ever come by and showed us compassion in our life? When we was down and out. When we were so broken that we didn't know what to do. Aren't you glad it was the mighty hand of God that reached way down? Not with hatred, not with turmoil or meanness, but he came to us in our hour of need with compassion. He was like the Good Samaritan was. Everybody else passed us by. The world said they're not fit to be saved. The world said they're a loser. They've always been a loser, and they'll never be nothing but a loser. But here come I am that was meek and lowly. You know what he did? He took us up in his arms. He put some oil. Oh, Baptist, don't get afraid. He put some oil in our wounds and bound us up. Took us to the church and told the church, you take care of her. And if there's any additional charge when I come back, I'll pay it in full. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. My wounds have been made whole. And the mother church has taken so good care of me today. And you are feeling the mother today in the church of God that will take care of you. None of us was perfect, but praise God, I am forgiven, Brother Jack. I'm not perfect, but I'm forgiven by the grace of God. Jesus said in John 6 and 41, I am the bread of life. Oh, I'm glad that I have eaten of that bread. He said, if you do not eat of this bread, you shall likewise die. They said, how can we eat his body? How can that be the bread? He's not talking about his body. It represents the bread of life. But praise God, when he got up on Sunday morning, oh, there was a feast that was created that you and I could have. People say, well, the marriage supper is going to take place way out yonder in the future. Today, can I preach this morning? Would it be all right if I tell you I've already tasted of the bread of life, and the marriage supper may be in the future, but there is nothing to a born-again child of God that tastes good when you have tasted of God. Oh, taste and see is why David said that the Lord is good. He is the bread of life. You can't get there any other way except through the bread of life. And I got to move on quickly this morning. He said, not only am I the bread of life, but in John 6 and 51, he said, I'm the living bread. You may eat this bread that's in this world and you'll get hungry again. Praise God, ever since 1972, Sister Vi, I've not hungered to try to go back and get saved again. I tasted of the Lord the first time. And can I get a witness on a Sunday morning? Once you get that first time experience, you never lose what God gives you, because he's a living God, not a dead God. He said in John 8 and 12, I am the light of the world. Who gives us that light? I am. Not just the sun that shines, or as one of the grandchildren was there at the house last night, looked out the window and said, I see the moon out there. Not just that or the stars, but folks, we have a light today that is real in a dark, sinful world. You say, what is that light? It's the I am that goes before us and makes a way in darkness. We wouldn't even know how to walk if we didn't have the light of God in our hearts and in our lives today. Some of you don't want the preacher to preach, but you got to hang on for a few more minutes. He's the light of the world that shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. You say, but we're living in a dark, dark time. If the church or the living God would turn their lights back on and let the light of God in their life shine, this world would be overtaken by the goodness of Jesus Christ. You know what we've done? We got one of those variable switches on our light. I guess it's called a dimmer. When we want it to shine bright, we turn it up. And when we want to look like the world and act like the world and talk like the world, we turn it way down. You know what Jesus told us? That we ought to be consistent in this world in which we live in. We ought to let our light shine and not put it under a bushel, as he said, but let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Can I go back a few more minutes today? I go back to when I was growing up in church, and I've got some of my elders here with me this morning. I go back to when I was in church. There were some people's lives that shone bright in my life, and it made me want to be like them. It made me want to not let them down. It made me want to pattern my life after their life. And you say, but they was poor and just like you guys was. But let me tell you, they had something that the world didn't have. Money can't buy you the peace of God in your life and in your soul. This world can't give you what they had. We was poor, but praise God, we was happy because we had a church that believed in God and getting our people saved. Jesus said, I am, in John 8:23, from above. They said, but wait a minute, you was born in a manger to Mary and Joseph. He said, oh, let me set you straight. First of all, Joseph was not my daddy. The Holy Ghost. Oh, some of y'all about all be, y'all be like popcorn. Seat, hold me down. I am from above. I'm not of this world. I came from my Father to do His will. And when I'm done, I'm going back to my Father. Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Oh, I came to die for your sins. But watch out, because on that third and appointed morning, I'm going to get up out of that grave. They put all the guards they want to around the door. The door's not going to be open. I'm going to get out of the grave like you've never seen before, because I'm going to go up. Instead of coming out the door, I'm going to go up. And he came out of the grave, and they had to roll away the stone to see if he was still there or not. You can't hold God down. I am from above. He said in the next verse, he said, I am not of this world. I'm not of this world. Church of the living God, once we've been saved, we are not of this world. Don't look like it. Don't talk like it. Don't try to live like it. You know what we ought to do? We ought to be proud that we are born again children of God. Everybody else is proud of who they are and what they are. It's time for the redeemed of God to stand up and say, I once was lost, but I am came into my life and he changed me. He saved my dying soul. And you may not like it or not, but I love his word because it's what keeps me saved until the day I leave this life. He said, I am the door of the sheep. John 10:17. I am the door. You can't get into the church except you go through the door. You can't join it. You can't be baptized into it. You can't be talked into it. There's only one way, and that is to go through the door. Jesus said, I'm that door. He's the door. You want to have life? Go through and by Jesus Christ. And you say, but I can't open the door. When you are preached to and taught and feel the presence of the Holy Spirit and you are brokenhearted and contrite spirit, you say, how do I get the door open? You know what he did for me? He opened the door. Oh. He opened the door. And when I walked in, I found what living is all about. Living for him and for the church. He said not only that, but in 10:11 in the book of John, he said, I am the good shepherd. He walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. When I get out of line, I feel that rod push me back. People say, you mean he whips you? If he don't whip you, you're none of his. Well, let me give you a scripture. You don't like this kind of preaching, do you, this morning? He said, a child that is not chastised is a bastard and not a son. You say you ought not use that kind of language in the house of God. That's what the Lord said. If the Lord says it, we ought to stick to it today. You say, have you ever been whipped? Yes, I have. How many of you have ever been whipped by God today? He is the chief shepherd. But not only does he use that rod for punishment, but he has a staff that he gently leads me. I will follow where he leads me. Oh, I wish the church could say that today. Where he leads me, I will follow. I will follow him. But many of us have gotten out of line through the years. Am I preaching the truth? And that staff had to come and get us in. Sometimes we get in trouble. You ever, let me paint a picture for you. At times I've been that sheep that got ahead of him or fell behind and I got stuck in the cliff. He couldn't climb down to where I was at in this picture. But I felt that staff. See, their staff had a crook in it. And whenever a lamb or a sheep got in a place where the shepherd couldn't get, it was long, he could reach down and put that around their neck and pull them to safety. You say, oh, that sounds harsh. Not when you're the one that is stuck there and you think you're going to die. And you feel that staff come around your neck. You don't know if you'll make it or not, but when you get to the top and you see who it is, you say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Amen. He said not only that, but he said also, and I'll close this morning. In John 11:25, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Amen. How many of you know he's alive today? Yeah. I am is alive. Satan thought, we killed him. It's almost over. I'm sure all of hell was rejoicing when they was beating our Lord and Savior, when they was crucifying him, and they thought, this is it. We've done away with him. But what did he tell us? I will be back. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I am the resurrection. And early on a Sunday morning, people wonder why we go to church on Sunday morning. What we're doing is we're commemorating, we're celebrating that our Lord, the great I am, is not dead. He's alive. You say, how do you know he's alive? How many of you felt his presence in the house of God this morning? You know he's alive. And I'm going to close with this final verse, and I've not covered it all, but it's enough for today. John 14:6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's not many ways to heaven. There's one way. The world, Satan, has painted that you can just go any way you want. The scripture says broad is the way that leads to destruction. But narrow is the way that leads to life everlasting. People that can be just everywhere doing anything and everything, I say they're still on that broad road, don't you? And even to the best on the narrow road, we still make mistakes. But I'm glad I'm on the narrow road. It's the path that is least traveled. We may have somebody here with us today that says, you've preached and they've sung about this great I am. I like to get acquainted with him. I like to know him for my own personal self. As Robin Sharon, get us a song real quickly. I like to know him and know about all these attributes that you preached about on this Sunday morning. And many of us today will have to confess, when I got saved, I didn't know all about the Lord, even though I'd been raised in church since I was 2 years old. I could sing the songs in Sunday school. I could recite some of the scriptures, but I still did not know him. But praise God, on that Saturday night in a little house that had been converted to a church. As I sit there wondering, how do they know it's real? How do they really know it's real? Then I felt. You say, was somebody knocking at the door? Nobody else heard the knock. Oh, Jim. Nobody else heard the knock on the door like I did that night. He may have been knocking on other people's heart. I don't know. But I had to open the door. The knob was on the inside, not the outside. And when I opened my door, in stepped the best thing that ever happened to me. Oh, that'll make some of you want to shout. The best thing. I was thinking as I was driving to church this morning, and I'm going to get my numbers wrong. I always do. Let me add them up real quick. 42 years. Right back. We've been married 42 years. I lose count. I'm sorry. 42 years. And we've claimed each other ever since we was 12 years old. So if you take, that make it 47 years total. I've been saved since 1972 when I was 11 years old. I got baptized in the nasty Licking River. I've been pastoring total here at this church for 22 years. I've had a good life. God has blessed me so richly. I've got 3 children that I love. I don't even know how many grandkids. But I love all of them too. But the best thing that ever happened was when I grabbed hold of that doorknob and I opened it up. I pulled that door open. There stood the best thing that ever happened to me. I am stepped into my life. And I've not been the same since. And I've been trying to tell it about him since 1979 when he called me to preach. And I still not got the story told. But if you're saved today, in just a few more days, Jim, I'd like to walk in with you and my brothers and sisters. And all the things that we don't know, as soon as we walk in the gate, it'll all be revealed to us. And we'll know things that we've only thought about or dreamed about, read about. We'll be like Queen Sheba. I heard about it, and I thought, man, this is just too good to be real. But then when I got there, the half was not told me. It's not even entered into the hearts or the minds of man, all the good things that God has prepared for us. And I say this morning, don't you want to go? Don't you want to go? While we stand, they sing a verse of a song. I am is with you today. If you'll come, he'll save your soul. If you know you're saved and you're out of fellowship, you ought to come. Whatever you need this morning, you ought to come. And let I am take care of it for you. Ask him. See if you've not heard the truth this morning. Yes, God, I come. While they pause for just a moment. See, God had to tell Moses, Tell my people, I am has sent you. And when you go before Pharaoh, tell him that it's the Lord God Almighty that has sent you to let my people go. Not your people go, but my people. Let them go. Today, God is inviting you. Whatever's got you bound, the Lord is saying, Satan, let my people go. Because there's many of us today, if we will be just open about it, Satan comes in and he binds our minds. He binds our thoughts. Sometimes he even binds our bodies with sickness and with pain and suffering. But there's one thing that he can't do. He cannot get to that part that God has saved and put a hedge around about it. Yes, we'll have troubles and trials. We all do. But Jesus said, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. We are more than conquerors today. Amen. Jack, we're on the winning side. Oh, in this life, many a times I've been on the losing side. But when I come in here, I say, Lord, I thank you. I'm on the winning side now. I'm on the winning side. I don't get a participation trophy. Oh, I get a crown of life that fadeth not away. And when I get to heaven, one of the greatest pleasures there's going to be is taking my crown and laying it at his feet. Because, Brother Ott, I did nothing to deserve it other than accept him. All the work was done by I am. This morning, one last verse. And I ask you to look in your heart and see if I am lives there. Waiting not. It's your choice. Yes. What are you going to do with him this morning? God bless you today. I pray that you've enjoyed being in the house of the Lord this Sunday morning. And aren't you just so thankful that it's not just once a week that God comes down, but he comes down every time that we invite him in to our service. Whether our service is in the church house, it's at the workplace, school, It's there with us. How many of you ever been blessed cutting the grass? You ever been blessed while you're out chopping weeds in a tobacco patch or a cornfield? Some of you can't say amen. You don't know what I'm talking about. The ground's so hard, when you hit it with a hoe, it bounces back up. I know what I'm talking about. I didn't read it in a book. I experienced it. And God brought me through it. Amen. Let's remember one another. It's certainly good to see Larry and Carlene with us today, and Robin. For Jim and Willa Dean, it's good to see them, and Clarence and Georgie, and just all of you today. I could go around the house, and some of you look like you're about to rob somebody. AC back there, look at him. He looks like he's one of those bandits. I hope somebody's packing heat this morning. But I pray a special blessing upon each and every one of you. We appreciate you stopping by. And come out Wednesday night at 6:30. And be with us in our service. And every Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. And maybe soon we'll get back on Sunday night. And you know, Sunday school on Sunday morning. But you know, the cases are still 1,000 a day and 25 a day dying in the state of Ohio. And I get long-winded at the close, but let me share this with you. That is not the number of people that have died in Ohio, or died nationwide, I should say. It's not even half of the number of babies that's been killed. It's not even half. In the state of Ohio, the number of deaths through COVID-19 is not even half of the number of overdoses where people have died by drugs. You say, Roger, what's your point? I think we're attacking the wrong problem. Instead of us attacking a virus, we ought to be attacking sin. Get rid of sin, and then we'll take care of this virus, right? I'm at the point, I'm sorry if I offend you, anybody this morning, but I'm at the point, take the mask off, let the chips fall where they may. That's me. Everybody has to do what they do for themselves, and we have to do what the state of Ohio says. And I appreciate y'all wearing your mask. I just never seen so many villains in one building before. Yeah, never seen so many. But I love you anyway, and I hope you love me anyway. God bless you. Have a great day. Come out Wednesday night at 6:30, and we'll have service all over again. God bless you.